Glory to God. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, team. You know, we are watching in the news night after night after night how many in our society, and not just in the United States, but in other Western countries, people protesting against law and order. They're protesting against the arresting of criminals and lawbreakers. They're protesting the rule of law. They're protesting holding criminals accountable for their crimes. Under the guise of kindness, sympathy, and tolerance, criminals have been set free to commit crimes in society. But I'm not going to dwell on that. If you contrast this with ancient cultures, just contrast it with ancient cultures, you're going to find that these ancient cultures, went to the extreme opposite. They believed that the more cruel the punishment is, the better it is. Think with me, please. Just think with me. What can be more cruel, an unusual punishment, extreme punishment, than the lion's den? Think with me. In the last message, we saw how Daniel's enemies sought to trap him and kill him. We saw how they maneuvered Darius the king, who was a temporary caretaker of the Babylonian division of now became the Persian Empire, was installed by King Cyrus of Persia. He issued a decree. They tricked him into issuing a decree that is absolutely unchangeable. That for everyone, don't miss this, everyone, that means everyone in the kingdom, must worship and pray to Darius alone. And they must do so for 30 days. For 30 days. It was illegal to pray to any god other than Darius. The penalty for violating this decree was death in an extreme, cruel death. And we saw that in Daniel chapter 6, verse 7, in the last message, and we saw that very clearly, that the tricking of the king into declaring that decree. My friends, please hear me right on this one. This cruel and bloodthirsty method of death gives us a clue as what is at the stake here. Are you with me? This is not a story of political intrigue or political conspirators plotting to overthrow their rival. No, 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 no. This is a story of a spiritual warfare at its finest. It's a spiritual warfare. Here, Daniel is not battling just against flesh and blood. No, no, no. These are not flesh and blood enemies. Okay, they were used by Satan. But Daniel was battling Satan himself, and who's working through his enemies. Some years later, the Apostle Peter described this kind of cruel and threat and opposition that Daniel faced in his day, and for every one of us who may be facing it in our day. The spiritual battle of today. Here's how Peter described this in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering is being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. Amen. Hear me right, please. I have no doubt that Satan, that roaring lion, worked through government officials even today, or some of them anyway. Yeah. And they came up with this cruelest of execution that they could imagine. Being torn to pieces and eaten alive by roaring, hungry lions. I have no doubt in my mind, at least, that Daniel experienced that spiritual warfare not just in the den of lion, but throughout the 60 years that he has been in a Babylonian exile. And make no mistake about it, we are in an exile right now because our home is heaven. And until we get to heaven in our exile, we are facing a spiritual warfare. I have no doubt that Daniel understood what the Apostle Paul many years later could say in Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. But Daniel also knew something else. He knew something else. He knew that his God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he knew that his God is greater than all of the Babylonian gods like Marduk and Shin and Teman and Anu and Ashtar and Duncan. All, after all, he knew that they were all just a storefront for Satan. He knew that. He understood that. And that's something we need to understand. And that is why Daniel decided not to hide from the decree of the king, but to continue his prayer life just as he did for decades in front of the open window facing Jerusalem. There is no doubt in my mind, at least, and I have to qualify it, that Daniel knew that his enemies would run to the king and inform on him. They were watching him. So verse 13, chapter 6, listen to what they said to the king. Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, not our colleague, not Daniel, who's one of the three administrators over all the Babylonian Empire. No, no, Daniel, the exile. You know, that it's an insult. It's a put down. He pays no attention to you, king, or to the decree that you have signed. But he makes his petition three times a day. Please, please look at the king's reaction, verses 14 and 15. When the king heard these words, he became very distressed. He became very distressed. And he set in his mind to make every effort to try to save Daniel. Poor old Darius, I mean, he was being tricked by these evil men, and he fell for it. He fell for it. With all of his kingly powers, he could not save Daniel. He realized that it was too late for him to be able to take away that foolish decree that he foolishly signed. He was powerless to do anything. He regrets what he has done, but he could not undo what he did. Oh, but the king also knew that Daniel has been faithful public servant for 60 years. The king knew that it was his godliness, that it was his faithfulness to Yahweh that made him a faithful employee. How do we know this? Simply is this. Listen carefully. How do we know that the king knew that it is his godliness that made him a faithful employee? Verses 16, 17, and 18. This sentence that was carried that night, the king testifies just before the sentence was carried. Listen to what he said. May the God whom you serve continuously deliver you. Amen. The king is testifying to Yahweh. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Don't you love that? Yes. Listen to me. Daniel, I cannot do anything to save you, but I know your God can. I am helpless, but your God is not. I, with all of my earthly powers, I'm paralyzed, but your God is not. And Darius goes down to the place where the den of lion is, which was right there by the palace. And he sees his beloved friends lowered into the lion's den. And the stone was covered and was sealed by the king's signet ring. Then he goes home. He goes home and spends a terribly sleepless night. Poor guy. He's bemoaning and regretting the decree that he signed. Now let me stop here for a few moments, okay? Just let me stop here for a few moments. I want to talk to you about the significance of the purpose of the den of lion. Because, you know, you heard the story in Sunday school. You know the story. I mean, it's not really new to any of you, probably maybe one or two of you, but that's it. Everybody knows the story of Daniel. But I want to give you the significance of that den of lion. Why is it den of lion? Why did the Babylonian employ such cruel and horrifying capital punishment? You have to understand that to them, back then, the lion was a major symbol of power of Babylon. Only the emperor was allowed to keep lions, and he keeps them near the palace. If it's not in the palace itself, the caged lions, they ate meat that comes from the scraps of the king's table. The very existence of those lions were to serve as deterrent against the king's political enemies. To be fed to the lion was the punishment that was primarily saved for the traitors and the political foes. It was a deterrent for anyone that would be foolish enough to try to challenge the power of the king. Don't miss this. Please don't miss this. Lions here, symbolic on two levels. I want to explain that to you. They're symbolic in two levels. They represent the power of Satan and the political power of Babylon. But, if you look really closely, you will discover that there is even a more subtle symbolism in that particular event. Let me explain it to you. Daniel is a prophet of Yahweh, right? He comes from where? From the city of Jerusalem. City of Jerusalem is the capital of the region of Judea. Are you with me? Yes. Judea was the territory that was promised to be given to a small tribe of Benjamin and also the large tribe of Judah. So Judea, the region of Judea where Jerusalem is, was comprised of those two tribes, but ruled by Judah because it's a bigger tribe. Question, do you know what the symbol of the tribe of Judah was? God bless you. Revelation 5:5 says Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Did you get it? Did you get it? Well, if you didn't, you're going to get it in a moment, okay? Be patient with me. What we are witnessing here, my beloved friends, is a showdown between evil rulers of Babylon and the prophet Daniel of Judah. It is a battle between two lions, the lion of Babylon and the lion of Judah. The demon gods of Babylon and the lion of Judah, who Daniel defended, they are in contest. They're in a contest. What we are seeing here is a spiritual warfare at its finest. Please don't miss this. Don't miss what I'm going to tell you. Whenever you take a stand against unrighteousness and ungodliness of this world, you will be subjected to attack from those who do Satan's bidding. Are you with me? Satan's emissaries may seek to overthrow you, undermine you, defame you, or even destroy you. These attacks may sound or look political attacks or social attacks in nature, but in reality, they are spiritual battles. Mm-hmm. Satan uses wicked and evil people to lie and cheat and deceive and to attack. But in reality, they are attacking God's eternal agenda for the world. Amen. Listen to me. Whenever people conspire to discourage you or to neutralize your influence for God and for the gospel, I don't want you to forget that. I don't want you to forget, please. They are not really your real enemies. Are you with me? They're not really your real enemies. Don't fall for the trap of hating or resenting them. I know it's easy to do that. So please know who your real enemy is. Please understand how the enemy's strategy works. Please understand what's at the stake. Above all, be aware of the greatness of the power of your obedience to the Word of God. You have access to the power of the one true God. You have access to the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have access to the power that demolishes every stronghold. You have access to the power that destroys every weapon that is formed against you. Amen belongs here. Never forget that the line of Judah is far more powerful, much stronger and mightier than the prowling lion that Peter tells us about. And when Daniel was there, down in that pit, and the stone was placed on the mouth of that pit, and it was sealed with the signet ring of the king, everybody thought it was over for Daniel. He's finished. It's all over. Daniel is finished. Just like the devil and his co-conspirators thought when Jesus was crucified and was buried, it was all over for Jesus. But God raised him up. I want to tell you something I pray to God you never forget. It ain't over.
That's right.
Until God said it's over. Repeat that with me. It ain't over until God says it's over. While the king goes to his bed feeling miserable, being snookered by these wicked people, he goes to bed tossing and turning, regretting what he did. The king returned to his palace to a sleepless night for condemning an innocent man. The king returns to the palace unable to eat or sleep or get entertained by his entertainers, experiencing intense anxiety. Please don't miss this incredible contrast here between King Darius and Daniel for that night. Daniel slept like a baby. He slept like a baby. Daniel suffered no anxiety or fear. Daniel suffered no regrets in serving his God faithfully. Why? Because while the king knew the power of the lion, Daniel knew the power of the Lion of Judah. Listen, I know and you know. So many evil powers are plotting against God's children right now. There are evil powers constantly working to manipulate us. Evil powers are constantly manipulating the news. Evil powers are constantly manipulating events. But they are the ones who will toss and turn in bed. They're the ones who will suffer anxiety. But we beautifully rest on the everlasting arms. On the everlasting arms. In the arms of the one who said, the gates of hell will not prevail over you. And while I'm a man who doesn't sleep very well at night, but that's okay, it's a well-known fact, but I don't toss and turn in anxiety. Those are the most amazing time of intimacy with Jesus. They are my greatest time of praise and worship and adoration while everybody else is asleep. Glory to God. Now, these are the times of great thanksgiving and joy in my life. Look with me, please, at verses 19 to 24. The next morning, Darius runs to the den of lion. Now, let me stop here for a moment, because somehow I have a hunch. I can prove it from the scripture, but I have a hunch. I'll take responsibility for this. I have a deep hunch that Darius knew that Daniel's God was not going to let Daniel down. Can I repeat that? Darius knew that Daniel's God is not going to let Daniel's down. Verse 20. Underline it in your Bible. Please underline it in your Bible. Watch every word that the king have said. Well, you see, if he even had a 1% inkling that Daniel had been devoured by the lions, he wouldn't speak to him, right? If he's dead, if he even believed half, 50% that Daniel is dead, he wouldn't come and talk to him. But because he knew that Daniel's God had delivered him, he speaks to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, have been able to rescue you from the lions? He knew it. That's why he talked to him. You don't talk to a dead person. He was talking to a living one. And Daniel answered, well, listen, I'm getting ready to shout now. Look at verse 21. Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God. Who?
My God.
Who?
My God.
My God sent an angel and zipped the mouth of the lions that they did not harm me. Amen. Give God glory. Why, you ask Daniel, why? Why? Oh, because my God knew the truth. My God knew that I'm innocent. My God is a good God, and he knows the secrets of the hearts. My God is a good God. He's a God of justice and a God of mercy. And the Bible said that the king ordered that Daniel be lifted out of the den. And when he came out to the sunlight, because it's dark down there, so when he comes out to the sunlight and they all look at him, there's not a scratch. There's not a scratch anywhere in his body. Look at him. This guy was down there with hungry lions, not a scratch. Not a scratch anywhere in his body. Nothing. Sometimes I use my sanctified imagination. I really do. And I think that Daniel probably had the softest mattress he's ever slept on at night. All these lions just lied together to make a beautiful soft mattress for Daniel. The lion's mouth was not only zipped by the angel, they probably played with Daniel like puppies. Glory to God. Why is this, Daniel? The scripture gives us the answer, thank God. Because he trusted in his God. Because what? Let me just meddle for a little bit. Okay, I don't do that very often, but occasionally I love to meddle. I like to meddle a little bit. You know, whenever you and I are facing trials and difficulties, and we all do, far, 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 far less than the den of lions, whatever they may be, it's far less, far less. But nonetheless, there are trials for us, there are crises for us. You know what the first thing we do? Well, I'm not going to blame you. I'm talking about myself, okay? The first thing I do, God, get me out of this. God, deliver me from this. God, don't allow me to get through this, into this. God, use your power to prevent this trial from coming into my life. Right? Yeah. That's my prayer. I'm not gonna blame you. I'm just gonna blame me. But my beloved friends, where is the glory in that? Where is the glory? You often hear me say that God did not deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, but in the fiery furnace. God did not deliver Daniel from the den of lions, but in the den of lions. For the truth be said, God can do whatever he wants to do, right? He's God, right? He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But God is greatly glorified when we are in the den of lion. Not escaping it. You remember Mary and Martha in John chapter 11? Remember the story of Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died, their only brother, and how disappointed they were in Jesus. How disappointed. And some of you get disappointed with the Lord. But you know what? That's okay. He's not going to fall off his throne. They were so disappointed that Jesus did not come right away when they sent him a word and said, your friend Lazarus is sick and dying. He did not come right away. He waited until Lazarus was buried in the tomb for 4 days before he showed up. In chapter 11, verse 21 of John, Martha said something, and it really doesn't come across as deep in the English language as it is in the original. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Listen to the depth of her disappointment with the Lord. Listen to the depth of her hurt. Listen to the depth of her discouragement. Had you been here when we sent for you? Had you answered my prayer when I prayed? Had you come to my rescue when I asked you to? Lord, had you heard my prayer and stop me from experiencing this terrible thing, whatever it is in your life that I'm facing. But listen to what the Lord said to Martha. I love it. I really love it. Listen, here's a Yusuf translation, okay? You won't find it in your Bible. But trust me, that's what he said to her. Martha, you don't know what you're saying. Martha, you don't know what you're talking about. I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Glory to God. Oh, my beloved friends. The deliverance of Daniel in, not from, say it with me, in, not from the den of lions resulted in greater glory for God. I'm going to show you. Here it is. Here's the evidence. What King Darius do, he issued another irrevocable decree. Verse 24. I made a decree that are all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear the God of Daniel. Now, had he saved him from the den of lions, Darius would not have written this. But because God delivered him in the den of lions, Darius could testify to God to the whole kingdom. And then he threw all of Daniel's enemies and their families in the den of lions. Watch this. These evil and wicked people suffered the horrible fate that they planned for Daniel. But I don't want you to just, I don't want to get away quickly from this, from and in, okay? I'm going to dwell on it. Just a couple more times. Can I get an amen here? There is no telling. and we won't know probably until we get to heaven. How many times, I'm talking about hundreds of times, thousands of times, that God had delivered us from dangers. We can't see, right? We don't know. We don't know how many. How many times God delivered us. We don't know it. We don't even feel it. As I said, only in heaven will we know how many dangerous situations God delivered us from without us knowing, without us knowing. I'm conscious of the fact that He had delivered me from hundreds, if not thousands, of dangers every day, every day. But we are not conscious of it, none of these. In fact, the truth is, we take it for granted. Right? We take it for granted. We just take it for granted. You know, as I woke up this morning and we drove to church today, and here we are. We didn't think about it, did you? You didn't think about it. We never thought about the fact that we woke up not sick or dead. No, I've got to be truthful with you. If I wake up dead, that's my greatest day of my life. Because I'm in glory. It doesn't bother me, but nonetheless, every morning I wake up, I said, you woke me up for a reason. Let me glorify you this day. The fact that you're not hit by a truck coming to church, injured or even dead. But only we become conscious of God's hand when we are in the den of lions. Are you with me? God doesn't always protect us from. He does many times, million times, not telling how many times. He delivers from dangerous situation. But He doesn't always deliver us from dangerous situation. But He delivers in dangerous situation. Now you can be sure that God will allow you and me to enter into trials and crises. Oh my goodness, I had a few of those myself. In fact, the Bible tells us to expect tribulation and persecution if we are living godly lives. And don't miss this. Those trials are often come to us as a result of our faithfulness to God. Are you with me? 1 Timothy 3:12 says that everyone, not some, everyone who lives godly life will, not may, will suffer persecution. Listen carefully. Figuratively speaking, we may spend a new nights in our den of lion. I've had some few nights myself through the years. But I bless God every working moment for His presence with me during and in these lions' dens. Listen, I lived long enough to testify to the majesty and the power of God. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. Something I want to do until the Lord takes me home. God rewards those who trust in Him. And they may go through the den of lions, their own den of lions, but He is going to be with you. That's His promise. Take it to the bank. Look at verse 28, 6:28. Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, but not only the reign of Darius, but Cyrus as well. Because Cyrus became the super emperor of the Persian Empire. One more thing. By the way, for next week, homework, read chapter 7 and 8. They're too long, but read them both because I want to cover those two visions. Okay? One more thing I've got to tell you. God has a way of dealing with those who set themselves as our enemies. Now, we do not make enemies. We don't create, we don't start that. That's not part of who we are in Christ Jesus. They're the ones who set themselves as enemies. But we don't. Even we love them. Even though they set themselves as our enemies, we still love them, pray for them. And the way God deals with them, listen to me very carefully, because many of us want to take vengeance. Many of us want to retaliate. But I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God that God will deal with them in a far, far, far greater way than your revenge that you exact on them. Can I get a witness? When the story of Daniel is often told, many times preachers skip that part. It just sounds unkind. It's like, it's not nice. You know, we're very nice in this culture, right? We're very kind. We become so mushy that we forget that our God is a God of justice. But I don't want you to skip that like they do. You see, that part about the king rounding up all of Daniel's enemies and sending him into that den of lions. Don't miss that. Some do. Don't miss it. Why is that important? You see, Darius realized that Daniel's enemies were the true enemies of the state, not Daniel. Daniel himself has been totally faithful to his earthly rulers. But his enemies were the ones who were manipulating the king to destroy Daniel, his most trusted advisor. Verse 24 again. Those enemies of the state, before they even reached the bottom, the floor of the den of lions, they were devoured with hungry lions. Why is that important? Listen to me very carefully. Because I'm very familiar with biblical critics. Sometimes I read their commentaries for entertainment because they're really foolish people. And just in case somebody would say in the 21st century, a biblical critic, liberal, apostate, call them whatever, and they said, yeah, the story of Daniel and Daniel, those lions, we're not really hungry. See, the Holy Spirit knew that. See, the Holy Spirit knew that's going to happen. And that is why the Holy Spirit inspired Daniel to write down, because he wanted us to know that these vicious, hungry lions supernaturally had their mouths zipped when Daniel went in there. And so he tells us that the lion devoured these wicked people before they even hit the floor of the den. Oh, my beloved friends in Christ, when you see the wicked prosper, are you listening? When you see the wicked prosper and appear that they're getting the upper hand, be patient. Be patient. Their end will be more dreadful than you can ever imagine. In fact, you don't want to be anywhere near them. The Bible said that they will be covering themselves and asking their stones and the rocks to cover them from the face of him who sits on the throne. In the end, Daniel's faithfulness produced an outpouring of praise for Yahweh from King Darius. Darius not merely suggested that they consider worshiping Yahweh. No, 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 no. He issued a decree that they must fear and revere the God of Daniel. Never underestimate what God can do. Never underestimate what God can do. Say that with me. Never underestimate what God can do. Never underestimate the power of prayer and praise. Never underestimate God's power to deliver you and your family. Don't underestimate what God wants to do through us, whom we continually worship, praise and adore. Will you pray with me? Lord, there are so many wonderful treasures in your word that we will never fully understand until we get to heaven. But we thank you that you preserve your word, the Bible, scripture. So here we are, 2,600 years after Daniel. We could rejoice and celebrate the power of our God, that we can be encouraged by Daniel's courage, that we will never cease to to pray and praise the name of Jesus, because that's where the power is. That is where the glory is. And Father, I pray, as we prepare our hearts to come to celebrate, to rejoice, and yes, to thank our glorious Jesus for allowing himself to die a vicious death on the cross, to allow his precious, holy, sinless blood to pour on that cross so that we may be eternally saved. May we never take that event for granted. May this remembrance, visible remembrance of the cross, be imprinted on the cortex of our brain and our heart, that we would live our days in praise and glory of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.